We are so blessed to be here, so blessed that our Lord has made the way. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Hallelujah. Lord, we are thankful that You love us so much. We, as Kirk has said in so many other ways, we just don't understand it, but we do rejoice in it, and we do live in it, and we thank You. Praise Your holy name. Over the past several months, I have been captured by several things that have to do with... Sorry, Al, I don't mean to move away from the mic. Captured my attention, and I believe the Lord is desiring for us as believers and as a fellowship, as the church, to, as the Lord says in John 10, verse 10, He says that, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And that's the Lord Jesus saying abundantly. That's not just me saying abundantly. Abundant with the Lord Jesus goes beyond our understanding. But we do have take part in that. And just as Paul shared last week, if you didn't hear his message, it's worth listening to. He spoke very briefly, but spoke about life and what is life. When does life begin? As spiritual life begin as a believer? And that's what I'm really driving at today. And I believe what the Lord has been leading me in. Life is dependent upon spiritual life is dependent upon what the Lord has done for us. The righteousness that comes from belief that Abraham had. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And that is in the book of Romans, relating a greater understanding than what was put in Genesis of the walk that Abraham had. And it goes on to talk about, the Apostle Paul is talking about our relationship. I'm getting into words here that I don't want to use. Not that I dislike relationship. The point is that we are walking and being led into a greater understanding of life and of the Lord Jesus. And again, Kirk was driving right at this point, that we have life, and we know we have life, but yet there's so much more beyond that that the Lord wants us to know. He wants us to participate in. He wants for us to enjoy. And so I think his desire is that we would walk in that, that we would be able to embrace and be embraced. Just as our brother Ed shared out of the end of Deuteronomy, that we are upheld by those loving, motherly arms of God. We are being carried. We are being transformed. We are being changed into what He would have us be. And, you know, I know, just as a personal testimony, in the recent years, how much more our worship and fellowship together has come to mean to me. And I believe it's come to mean to the Lord. It's different, of course, with the Lord, because he knows all from the beginning to the end. I'm just starting to recognize these things, and he's revealing them. He's opening them up. He's opening up worship and praise to understand what it is he's saying. And so I've already talked about, and I think it's important to help understand right now what I'm driving toward, is that in Romans chapter 7, Paul is describing the struggle that he has, that we all face with our flesh. That our flesh is a hindrance. That's too mild a word. In 7:18, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." I'm going to pause there for a moment. The Lord wants us to move beyond that. The Lord wants us to move beyond the flesh, to experience spiritual life. That is the life he's speaking of in John chapter 10, that we're to have in abundance. And what happens here, He declares there at the end of chapter 7, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" How can I go beyond this? How can I get away from it? It's constantly around me. It's in my way. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now," chapter 8, verse 1, "there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Right there, and way I see it, and maybe if you could look at it this way, it will help you to see what I'm driving at. It's almost like there's a boundary. It's almost like something that you cross over. And truly, it's stepping into faith. It's stepping into believing. Do you believe, when you believe what God has done, you will step over this boundary, if you'll call it that. And it's hard to understand it's impossible to understand without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us through all of these things and helps us to understand, and he wants us to know. He wants us to enter in. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." All that's behind us, all that is involved with our flesh is put away. That's what he's saying. It's put away and we live in the good. We live in the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. And that's a lot to take in, right? Like what Kirk was talking about. It's beyond our understanding, but the Lord is giving us understanding. He is opening this to us. He wants us to know this. And there's a lot here. What I want to get to is to help us understand we don't live by sight, but I want to touch on what does this look like? Because that helps me to understand a little bit. Can we see examples of this? And I was just absolutely amazed that our brother Ed shared this word this morning at the end of Deuteronomy, because it's the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of the book of Joshua that I think is that place between Romans 7 and Romans 8. I think it's described in Israel. It's the Old Testament, the history of what happens. What is it God is seeing and what is happening? And how does he want us to go forward? And the picture, of course, is Israel. And the picture is the end of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy was written by Moses to prepare Israel to go into the promised land. And the promised land is our Lord Jesus. That's where we're going to live. We know that's our destination. That's where we have been placed by his blood and his atoning sacrifice. We are placed in the Lord Jesus. He is what to Israel was the promised land. That was the physical thing for them. It is a spiritual thing for us. And what struck me, what brought me to this place, was the first part of the book of Joshua. And I'll take time for a commercial message. I hope you all listen to, I know a number of you attend, the Wednesday studies that Ed has been doing in the book of Joshua, but the Lord has been revealing through our brother wonderful and powerful things of the Lord Jesus in the book of Joshua. And I would highly recommend that you listen to what the Lord has given him. But here at the beginning of the book of Joshua, the book of Deuteronomy is now finished. Moses has died. Now it came about, verse 1 of Joshua, came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. What leaped out at me there is every place on which the sole of your foot treads. Now what that says, and what the reality of that was, is as the people entered into the promised land, it became that which they took, that which they walked on, that which they received by the promise and the leadership of God, the following of the ark, they owned. It was theirs. God was taking it and he was fulfilling his promise to Abraham and his purpose for the children of Israel. They had to walk on it. They had to go in. It wasn't just an ethereal thing. It wasn't just something in the mind. They physically went in. And they went in by the power and under the covering of God. Under the covering of his promises and his righteousness. And just the same way we go in to the spiritual life in Christ. We don't understand it. They didn't understand it. They didn't know how they would accomplish these things. They knew it was a good place. They had been preparing for it. Moses had been preparing them for it. They were rescued out of Egypt. They were saved and baptized in the Red Sea, the word tells us. They wandered in the wilderness because of their flesh and because of their unwillingness to believe, so that they got to the place where they would believe and they would be ready to go in. And death had to happen. That entire generation had to pass away. But now they are ready. They are ready to go in. And the Lord says to Joshua, "Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. Go from the law of sin and death into the law of spirit and life." That's what we're hearing. That's what God is saying to us through the Apostle Paul, that it's the same point, same thing that God was telling Joshua to do with his people, Israel, the people who he'd prepared. He gave them his servant, Joshua, the servant of Moses, who was God's servant, and he said, "I want you to go into the land and give them life. Give them the land flowing with milk and honey. Give them what I want for them." He wants us to have that spiritual life. He wants us now in Christ to have all of Christ, all of the fullness of Christ. He's not holding anything back. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. The verses that Ed read at the end of Deuteronomy, and this helps me to see how God was seeing this time when Israel was going into the promised land. Ed already read verses 26. This is chapter 33 of Deuteronomy. "There is none like the God of Israel who rides the heavens to your help and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you and said, 'Destroy.' So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in the land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies shall cringe before you, and you shall tread upon their high places." That's all about God and what he's doing for his people. There's nothing in there about Israel earning a place. There's nothing in there about, there's nothing in God's promise about that we can do to earn this, that we must perform to be eligible. God is doing it for us. We have to believe. That's our part. The Lord is the author and finisher of faith. He will give us the faith to believe. He desires for us to embrace all that there is, just as he desired Israel to enter in and to take it. Every place their foot trod became their place of dwelling. Dwelling with him is provision for them. If you look at the earlier verses in Deuteronomy 33, you see how God saw Israel. You don't see how it actually worked out. because Israel struggled. Israel failed in a lot of ways. But God saw them. God embraced them. And I'm going to read a few. He speaks about each of the tribes. He does leave Simeon out, and I'm not quite sure I understand that. There is so much here I don't understand, and I can't give you light on. But I can give you light on some of the big things. What I see here. And he speaks he's speaking of the tribes of the people, and he says, "May Reuben," verse 6 of 33, "may Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few." And I want to go down to 20. Of Gad, he said, "Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad. He lies down as a lion. He tears the arm, also the crown of the head. Then he provided the first part for himself, for there the ruler's portion was reserved. And he came with the leaders of the people, and he executed justice, the justice of the Lord, and his ordinances with Israel." Those two tribes did not enter the land. These things did not become true, did not work out in life the way God foresaw them, because of sin, because of unbelief. That's how it happened. That's how they came to fall short. But he had a God in the Spirit, God in his omnipotence and his omniscience and his omnipresence. He knew what would be. He knows what is and what will be. And so he's relating, and you can read these. Each one of these is interesting and is a blessing. God wants the children to be as Asher, verse 24. "And of Asher he said, more blessed than the sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers. May he dip his foot in oil. Your lock shall be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so shall your leisurely walk be." Isn't that a picture? We have a leisurely walk just like Asher did. Yeah, there's many hardships, but we are walking in the pathway that he has made for us, that he is protecting, that he is opening up. And he wants us to know, he wants us to enter into that. He wants us to live in the good of that. He doesn't want us to end up like Naphtali, right before Asher. He says, "And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, take possession of the sea and the south." Naphtali ended up in the mountains in the north and the east. He was away from the sea. We don't want to be there. We don't have to be there. We can enter into what God has for us. He wants us to enlarge, to be a witness and a testimony of who he is, to glorify him. I'm going to wrap up now, and I've got more I want to say next week, as the Lord allows. But I want us to see that what the Lord has done, he is doing on purpose, and he wants us to walk in the good of what he has done. And he wants us to embrace and to have life abundantly. And so what I hope to, my small object next week is to show you how the scripture says this is to be. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your loving kindness toward us, how you have given us everything, how you have made the way, how you not only have made the way, but you are the way. Lord, that we are in you, and because of you, we have life. We have spirit life. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. And walk in the good of what you have done for us. By your power, by faith that you cause to well up within us, help us, Lord, to take this and believe that we don't have to live according to the law of sin and death. We don't have to look backwards anymore. We need to look to you. Praise your holy name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters.